Another good evening to you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate Rick leading us in those songs this evening, and glad that you made it out tonight. Tonight we're going to have a sermon, The Harvest God Has Given. I apologize it was not in the bulletin. It kind of got pushed out with my outline this morning, but I appreciate those who made mention of that, and so thank you for noticing. And if you have your Bibles, encourage you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 this evening. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 11. Before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful, almighty God, you are the Lord of lords and King of kings who gives us the harvest. And Father, help us to open your word tonight as we study what that means. And Father, we pray that we can be a people that you will bless, and that we can honor you. And Father, we thank you that we have been able to come this night without fear of harm or persecution. We thank you for the men and women who protect our freedoms to be able to do such. And Father, as we think about those who are defending our freedom at this time and protecting us in our streets and in foreign fields, we just ask your loving hand be upon them in this time. Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for his church and that we can be a part of it. And we just pray that we can be able to do the things that will help it to grow and increase in our day and time. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. God has many laws, if you think about it. Just not the ones that are written as we think about the instructions and commands in his book. But he has laws such as the law of gravity. We all are familiar with that. We understand how that benefits us as living up here on this earth. But he also has created within his creation the law of centrifugal force, and the law of aerodynamics. And the one we like to look at tonight, the law of the harvest. To harvest means to plant. And this principle is seen throughout the Bible, and it's one that we still benefit from today. Basically, it tells us, or is the law, that you must plant something if you want to get something. That's to grow, plant, grow. And it's really a farming principle, but it has implications in various things, including our spiritual life. In one aspect, you think about it, that nothing has ever just sprung up. You think about the congregation here. Someone had in mind to carry out the Great Commission and plant the congregation here years ago. And since then, people have worked and they have labored to be able to help maintain and to be able to help the message of Christ to spread in this community. As we think about the law of a harvest, definitely church planting is one of those ideas that incorporate that. As we think about this idea of harvesting, it would carry a number of different things. But when we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 11, we see Paul is discussing a harvest. In the context, he is talking about giving to help Christians who were in need primarily, and encouraging and teaching the Corinthians this very principle. And although there is a lot that could be said about giving here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in fact, even in the chapter before and chapter 8, we want to narrow our study tonight to verses 8 through 11. And it reminds us of this principle and teaching of harvesting, planting, and harvesting. First of all, as we look at this text, notice what it says in beginning of verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The first principle or teaching we see here, God gives us resources to use. From the very beginning of the Bible, we are introduced to God giving us mankind stuff, things. At first, we're introduced to his creation. And so God gave us his creation. Even the food that we eat, we see that he gave in Genesis 2:9. We see that they created trees with fruit to eat from it. And so we see and are introduced that God is a giving God. We could go on and point out many other things that God has given through the Old Testament and the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 17, we see that God has given us the Bible. It is inspired. It is given us to correct us, to make us better, to do so that we're about good works. Many things God has given us. In fact, we can probably not imagine all the things that God could give us. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it says, with God's power working in us, he can do much more than anything we can ask or imagine. And so, when we think about God, we see that God gives us all kinds of things. And the greatest way to understand God's teaching on him giving us things and resources is to look at his son, Jesus Christ. When we see that Jesus Christ came to this world, we see that Jesus was given to us as a sacrifice. We're all familiar with John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave. And the greatest thing we see that he has given us is his son. And not only did Jesus give us his life by dying on the cross for our sins, but he also set us an example to give. We see throughout Jesus' ministry, as related in the Gospels, that Jesus gave his time. You think about all the times that Jesus just spent time with people, Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman in John 4, or the man blind in John 9. He took time with them. He took time with his disciples as well, teaching and training and showing them the ways of righteousness. We think about other things that Jesus gave. He gave food. Think about the occasions when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000. And in all of them, he gave us his teaching that we have recorded today. Jesus illustrated this characteristic of God as being a giving God. In Acts 20 and verse 35, it says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus showed us in many ways that he is a giver and that God is a God that gives us resources to use. In Romans 5 verse 8, we see that God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. Over and over, we see Jesus teaching us that God gives us resources. God gives us things from his creation to his word, to his very son. And so when we come to this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're reminded that God gives even of our physical needs and that God gives us everything we need. And when we give in this context of giving to God in our as commanded of lay buying and storing, we see that we lose nothing in giving to God. That when we give, we're reminded that it's obeying his commands and following the characteristics and the very nature of God. That he expects his creation, we who are made in his image, to be good givers as he is a good giver. And so we are not to worry about the things that we are to give to God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and verse 33, notice what it says in relation to being worried or being concerned that we will not have enough. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Significant for the day is its own trouble. God gives us everything we need. We lose nothing when we give. But that continues the passage in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 continues this thought. Notice what it says. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. See, as we think about this teaching of God gives us everything we need, Paul continues that thought and reminds us, because God is a good giver, that he expects us to use what he has given us. We need to use what God has given us. He makes the illustration from a farming illustration. He gives seed to the sower, and so it produces food. And so he expects the seed that he provides to be used for food. And we can apply that to any other things in regards to our spiritual life as well. We are to use the things God gives us. We are not to hide or misuse what God uses us. You know, every farmer expects and desires more than he plants. That's kind of the nature of being a farmer. You plant seed anticipating you get more than what you put into the ground. Well, God, creating us, expects us to get more than just God-breathed dirt, we might say. God expects us to use our ability. He expects us to use what he has given us and multiply. We see one such example of this in Matthew 25 when Jesus gives us a parable of the talents. Here we see there is this master. He gives 5 talents to one of his servants, 2 to another, and 1 to another, according to their ability. The master understood what each one was capable of doing. And so he's not showing partiality. He's not being selective or biased in any way, other than he knows their ability. He knows what each can do. And so he goes off, and when he returns, the one who had 5 multiplied 5, and the one who had 2 multiplied 2. But when he come to the third, he did nothing with that talent. And so you see that as we continue the parable, those who multiplied, the one with 5 talents and the one with 2, is blessed, and was told, enter into the joy of your master. But the third servant, that he did nothing with his talent, he did not invest it, he did not even squander it, he buried it. He did nothing, and he was afraid. And so we see that he was rebuked for misusing or not using the opportunity that was presented to him. Jesus' point by telling this parable is that we must use our talents. We must use our abilities. And that's exactly what Paul was pointing out here in Ephesians, that when God gives us resources, whatever they may be, whether it be financial or whether it's spiritual abilities to work in his kingdom, we need to use it for the glory of God. Each of us are going to be held accountable for the way we use or didn't use our ability, as we see in the parable in Matthew 25. Over in Romans 12, we see that this teaching is repeated in verses 3 through 8. Here, Paul illustrates that the church is like a body. All of us have different functions and different responsibilities, some more than others, because of our faith and maturity in the kingdom. And so when we read Romans 12, 3 through 8, we see that he has given us responsibility, and we need to use them in his kingdom. Notice Galatians 6 and verse 9 also repeats this. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Bible expects us to do good things with what God has given us. There is a story of Marquis de Lafayette. He was a French officer. He helped during George Washington during the American Revolutionary War. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer of many estates. In 1783, the harvest was a terrible one, and there were many who suffered as a result. Lafayette was, his farms didn't get bothered by the crop failures. And one of his workers offered what seemed to be good advice to Lafayette. He said, "The bad harvest has raised the prices of the wheat. This is the time to sell." After thinking about the hungry peasants in the surrounding villages, Lafayette disagreed and said, "No, this is the time to give." You know, as we think about the abilities we have, and that might be for you leadership, or it might be teaching or service or giving, as Romans 12 verses 3 through 8 reminds us, it's easy to look at our abilities and gifts and say we can do something other with this than in the kingdom of God. But I think we can make the application from the story. Now is the time to use them. Now is the time to bless others who have need of our gifts. And we need to use our resources now that God has given us. But number three, as our text continues, as we look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Notice in verse 10, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." God will give us a harvest. In other words, God will bless each one of us when we invest in his work. When we use our abilities, when we use our resources, when we use what God has given us, we will be blessed. Well, it goes back to earlier in the chapter when it talks about being a cheerful giver. When we plan and give, and we give out of our ability, we give unto God as commanded, he will bless it. Sometimes we hear the expression is, we give and we get, but we don't give to get. Meaning that we give to God because he has commanded it. And we get something out of it. We get a blessing. We don't necessarily get the return of what we have given. I heard a story about a man who gave $10 in the collection plate. And one Sunday morning, and then as he was walking home from church, he found $20. Well, it doesn't always work that way, but it is a blessing when you give. We see the work of the church encouraged. We see the poor taken care of. We see good things coming from our efforts when we give, and we get something out of it. But again, we don't give to get. It's not that we give expecting $10 in return or even $20. No, we get something spiritual. We get something emotional. We get something that bonds us together in Christ. See, God will give us a blessing. As we use our finances, but it's not just our finances, it talks about and applies our talents, our time. We get something out of it, and that's God's blessing. Over in Ezekiel 34, there's a passage that talks about God's blessings. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn over to Ezekiel 34. And notice the verse beginning of verse 26. Ezekiel 34, beginning of verse 26. Notice what it says in regard to when God blesses his people. Ezekiel 34, beginning of verse 26. "I will make them and the places all round my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. And then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord your God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God." Notice the blessing that comes when those who rely on God. The phrase that Ezekiel uses, showers of blessing. And which one of us could not look at our life and see that when we have used God's resources, when we have given as he has commanded, we have been blessed. See, the more we give of ourselves, the more we give and use God's blessing, there is a sense that God continues to bless us. Oh, it may not be in physical means. It may not be that $20 laying on the street, but it comes in a variety of different ways. When we think about the idea of a fellowship, of drawing closer to one another and drawing closer to God, these are just some of the very benefits that God blesses us with as we give unto him. As we think about this very point, God is a God of the harvest. He will bless us as we think about using his resources and his abilities. God is a God of resources, and he expects us to use them. As we conclude tonight, God is a great God. There are many great things he has blessed us with. And we sometimes sing the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. As we think about all that God has given us, all the resources, from creation to his son dying on the cross and giving that hope in heaven, as we think about he has given us the opportunity to use those resources, expects us to use those resources, and that he blesses us when we do, don't we have many blessings to count? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and we see what the Lord has done. It's easy to get very discouraged in this world, but when we look at the blessings God has given us, there is many things to be thankful for. And I believe when we do, we can definitely say God is a God of the harvest, a God that blesses and encourages us to continue on. It may be that you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Maybe you'd like to get in on these blessings from God. Oh, God has already blessed us in many ways. He gives us rain and sunshine and food and clothing. But tonight, will you get on the blessing of salvation? Maybe you're here tonight and you never confessed Jesus as Lord or repented of your sins and put him on a baptism. Will you do that tonight? It'll be the greatest blessing, greatest reward in your life when you respond to the message of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you need to respond, encourage you to come as we stand and sing.